Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So, Matthew chapter 21, verse 43, we want to look at the fruits of the kingdom, and specifically we will consider one fruit, the fruit of kingdom feet. Kingdom feet. Feet is spelled F-E-I-T-H, not F-E-T-E, but F-E-I-T-H, the fruit of kingdom feet. Okay, so the text is Matthew 21 and then 43. It says, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it. So the kingdom of God is like a garden and it produces fruit. All right? And we are looking at one fruit of the kingdom called kingdom faith. If you look at the book of Revelation chapter 22 also, and then verse 2, in the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. This tree of life is not just talking about the life that human beings have. It's not a tree of human life. Is a tree of life. Now, this tree of life, the Bible says in context, is in the kingdom. So we can call it the kingdom tree of life or the tree of kingdom life. It's not human life. Kingdom life. All right. Says that there in the middle of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. Okay. So this tree of kingdom life, not human life or animal life, but this tree of kingdom life, because it is in the kingdom of God, bears 12 fruit, and every month it yields a fruit. That should tell us that although it is located in the heavenly kingdom, it is a respecter of human time. Because in the heavenly kingdom, there is really no time, so to speak. Time belongs to this earth. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Time belongs to the earth. So month is talking about how many days? 30, 31 days, right? This is talking about time. The tree of life, although it is for kingdom life, because it's in the heavenly kingdom, it respects human timing. So every month, if you like, on this earth, it yields a fruit. Okay? So the tree of kingdom life or kingdom living is relevant for those of us who are living in time. God himself lives in timelessness. Okay? Let's finish that scripture. The last part says, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations or the ethnos. That is telling us how this tree is in the heavenly kingdom in the book of Revelation 22, but it respects human timing, time on earth, and it yields every month one fruit. And the leaves are for the healing of the nations, nations on this earth. Because in the heavenly kingdom, we don't have Ghana, we don't have Africa. Asia, Europe. Hallelujah. So you see how heaven is responding to the earth. It's responding to what? The timing on this earth. So when January is over, the tree of life, of kingdom life, which is in the heavenly kingdom, according to Revelation 22, is respecting what? February. And when February ends, the tree of kingdom life is respecting March, which is on this earth. That tells us the relevant of kingdom living on this earth, the relevant of the kingdom fruits for our lives on this earth right now. So Jesus ended the parable of the wicked farmers by saying that therefore the kingdom of heaven will be taken away from you. In fact, primarily referring to the Jewish people, and then giving to a nation, Gentiles, who will bear the fruit of the kingdom. And they are going to bear it every man. What does it mean? It means that God wants in the 12 months of the year to always remember that we have to yield a certain fruit of the kingdom, especially for those of us who live in the kingdom of heaven, who have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of heaven. The onus is on us to bear fruit. But the wonderful thing about fruiting is that if you are a tree, you are an orange tree, you should not be afraid. You will bear orange fruit. That is what I want you to understand. If you belong to the kingdom, you really are born from above. Okay? Born from the heavenly kingdom, you are going to effortlessly yield your fruit. In other words, this kingdom fruit that we are going to be discussing is not something you must let it be a burden. It's not a burden. It is something that will come naturally from you. You just have to know the kind of person that you are. You know, you are housing the tree of life, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. And you are going to yield a certain fruit that Jesus Christ yielded whilst he was on this earth. And that is what I want to talk to you about. Kingdom fruit. It is something that you don't have to pray for. You don't have to pray for any kingdom fruit, because you will bear them. I will show you how to bear them. You just have to know that you will bear them. It should not be something that turns into works that you have to perform, you know. Because an orange tree doesn't struggle to bear orange fruit. It just bears it. It's just a matter of time. It will bear the fruit. That is what I want you to know. That it's just a matter of time. You are going to bear this kingdom fruit as long as you are born from above. You are a believer. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? All right. So we are looking at the fruit of kingdom faith. I must say that there are two main classes of faith. We have got the kingdom brand and then the religious brand, or the brand that belongs to the earth. Indeed, in this world, you can always break things into two. You can break it into the heavenly version and the earthly version. It's always like that, safe. You know, you don't have to use some very mysterious criteria, you know. You just have to know that there is God and there is human, all right? There is a heavenly kingdom and then there is an earthly kingdom, right? So, two main classes of faith, the kingdom faith and religious faith. Religious faith is championed by the devil. If you read James chapter 2 verse 19, the Bible tells us over there that do you believe in God? And it says the devil also believes and he trembles. James chapter 2 verse 19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons or the devils believe and tremble. What do they believe? They believe that there is one God. In other words, they believe God. They believe in God, if you like. You know? So, when you believe in God, you must ask yourself, do I believe in God the way the devils believe in God? Or do I believe after the kingdom order? You know? So, believing is not simple. Is that it? Yeah. There is believing and there is believing. That's what I mean. There is a believing that the devil believes in, and the Bible says he trembles. And we are also believers. We believe in God. So, do we believe like the way the devil believes? Or I should put it this way. Satan's faith and belief is from one root, pistis, all right? Now, the devil's faith in God, is it the kingdom type or the religious type? You have to ask yourself. Where does it belong in the two main divisions of faith? Is it the kingdom type or the religious type? Certainly it is a religious type. Okay? It is a religious type. So there is religious faith. Look at 1 Timothy and then verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith or unhypocritical faith. The devil's belief in God is a hypocritical one. It's not a sincere one. It's not a true one. It's not a kingdom type. All right? Look at the same book of Timothy, 2 Timothy this time, and then chapter 1 again, and verse 5 again. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Louis and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you Timothy also. So the Bible is telling us that there was this kind of faith that Paul saw in Timothy. He saw that his faith was a genuine faith, all right? It was an unhypocritical faith. It wasn't a pretentious or a false faith, okay? It was the kingdom type. Finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and then verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and then verse 10. Paul says, night and day praying exceedingly that I may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Say, I want to see you. Why do I want to see you? Because I want to work on your faith. I want to do something about your faith. I want to teach you something that will make your faith perfect. In other words, you have faith, all right. The devil believes, all right. But it's not perfect faith. It is not the kingdom type that God wants his people to have. The kingdom type is faith that has been perfected. If you like, you can call it perfect faith. It is a kingdom type because things in the heavenly kingdom are perfect. You can't improve upon it. So when he says, I want to perfect what is lacking in your faith, I want to make it a kingdom faith. I want to make it say that that is the version God has, the version in the heavenly kingdom, the version that he wants us, kingdom people, his believers, to have. Okay? Now, finally, did I say finally? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It tells believers to do something. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? All right? So he says that examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Definite article, the faith, is talking about a particular type. Examine whether you have that particular type. And he gives us some of the characteristics of kingdom faith that I will come to later. Says that, don't you know yourself that Jesus is in you? Kingdom faith has to do with knowing who you are after our Lord Jesus. We will come to that. But where I want us to see is for us to examine ourselves. So that is what we want to do. We want to look at kingdom faith versus religious faith. And in the course of it, we will be able to see whether what we have is the faith, all right? A kingdom version that we must bear as a fruit of the kingdom, okay? Now, we want to look at the first feature of kingdom faith, and it is that kingdom faith is a product of intimacy with God. Kingdom faith is a product of intimacy with God. It comes through being intimate with God. Intimate means like you are having fellowship with God. It comes when you are in fellowship with God. You see, the beauty of kingdom faith is that you don't have to struggle for it. It is effortless faith that comes. It comes when you are in fellowship with God, when you are intimate with God, when you have the presence of God, when God overwhelms you, when God reveals himself to you. Faith is a product. Or faith is, if you like, the byproduct. It is a result of intimacy with God. Kingdom faith is a result of intimacy with God. So you see, when you are in fellowship with God, God is speaking to you, God is revealing himself to you, you will have faith, but you will not know that even you have kingdom faith. It's wonderful. It is possible for you to have kingdom faith and not be aware that you have it. You can only know that you have kingdom faith by the things that comes into your life. That is a sign. It is just like you have eyes that you are looking at me with. You are seeing me, and that tells you that you have got eyes. Two eyes. E-Y-E-S. But you can't see your own eye. I can see your eye and tell you, and I can tell you that you have got two eyes. But you yourself, you can't see your eyes. It is something which has become so much a part of you that you don't think about whether I have got eyes or not. When you wake up and you are seeing, you believe you have got eyes. It's something that comes, it's a product, it's an effortless thing. Kingdom faith, God deposits it. When you are in fellowship with Him, you know, He deposits it. And you are not aware that you have it. But out of that deposit, out of that intimacy with God, you see that things are entering into your life. And you don't know how these things are happening. It's because He deposited faith inside you. So many times, people who have faith, they don't know that they have faith. I know some people say that, me, I believe. Please be very, very, take it easy. Humble yourself until you examine yourself to see whether it is the kingdom type. Because the kingdom type, it comes by God revealing Himself to you. So you don't have to follow faith. And people say, I want faith. You don't have to follow faith. Make it your objective that I want to grow my faith. What should your objective be? I want to have fellowship with God. I want to know God. I want God to reveal Himself to me. That is what you must follow, because the faith, kingdom faith, is just a byproduct. It is born by God's revelation of Himself to you. It's just like a bonus.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So you follow the real thing. Who is who? God. Who is who? Jesus. And then when He comes by you, He drops a product. Many things He drops, including faith. And you are not even aware that you have faith, but things are working for you. Hallelujah. So kingdom faith, it comes, that's the first feature. It comes by a God-impacted revelation. Okay? It comes by a God-impacted revelation. When revelation comes, you will believe. Look at Genesis chapter 15 and then verse 5 and 6. We can't talk about faith without talking about our father Abraham, and we can't talk about the kingdom of God really without talking about our father Abraham, because he lived in the kingdom system before the law. He lived in the kind of system that Jesus brought, which we are enjoying now. That is why when you believe in Jesus, you have the blessing of Abraham, because Jesus takes us back to the time of Abraham. The way that he related with God, God related with him, is the same way he wants to relate with us as a friend. As it's wonderful. I'll show you some few things. Look at verse 5 now. Genesis 15 verse 5. Then he brought him. Who brought him? That is, God brought Abraham out and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. The Bible says that Abraham was having problems with believing. And so he complained that, look, I don't have any child. This Eliezer is of Damascus, is my heir and all that. God says, no, he's not going to be your heir. Somebody is going to come from your loins, I should say, who is going to be your heir. And then to help Abraham, God brought him. Can you underline, he brought him. He brought him. It's not Abraham came out. God brought him. God was in fellowship with Abraham, and God brought Abraham out and said, look at the stars. When he saw that revelation, the Bible says in verse 6 that he believed in God. Because anytime there is a revelation that comes by an intimacy with God, faith is one of the byproducts. Okay? It's wonderful. It's powerful. Revelation brings kingdom faith into you. Revelation of God, it brings kingdom faith. The opposite is religious faith. In religious faith, you get it by a mastery of academic mastery of the subject of faith. You can read the Bible, take a concordance, and get all the verses on faith and study them. You see the thing? And say that you have faith. You know, you have studied faith. You know the subject about faith. But believe me, without intimacy with God, what you have is just an academic mastery of the subject of faith. These are the people who boast and say, I believe. All this is happening because of, you see, I believe in God. And things like that. But people who get the faith by an intimacy, by fellowshipping with God, by a revelation of God, they can hardly open their mouth to say that I believe. Hallelujah. It's like you wake up. You don't wake up and say, I have eyes. You wake up and you look and you know that you can see, so you have eyes. It's an effortless thing. It's wonderful. Isn't it wonderful? So you can know kingdom faith and religious faith by how it comes. Ask yourself, how did my faith come? How is this thing I'm believing God for? How did it come to me? Is it by a mastery of the subject of faith, or it is by fellowship with God? It is possible for you not to even have a mastery of the subject of faith, but just by the intimacy with God, God reveals himself to you. He drops the faith. You may not know a lot about faith, but you see, you will believe and things will begin to happen in your life, and you don't understand why they are happening. It's because of kingdom faith, which is at work in your life. Wonderful. Can we move on to the next one? The next feature of kingdom faith is that it works by grace. The first one, I've shown you how it comes. Faith can come in two ways: by an academic mastery of the subject of faith from the Bible, or by intimacy with God. All right. Kingdom faith comes by intimacy with God, fellowshipping with God, the revelation of God. Now, number two, kingdom faith works. Now I'm showing you how it works. Kingdom faith works by grace. Kingdom faith works by grace. All right. Romans chapter 4 verse 16. Romans chapter 4 and then verse 16. I want to show you that kingdom faith that we should bear as a fruit of the kingdom, it works practically by grace. Romans 4 verse 16 says that therefore it is of faith. What is of faith? We can go to verse 13 and find out what is of faith. Verse 13 now. For the promise that he, Abraham, would be the heir of the world. In other words, the promise that he is going to inherit the world, or the world is for him. He's going to rule the world. That promise was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And so verse 16 says, therefore, it is of faith. The promise that we are going to be rulers in this world, like Abraham was a ruler in his world, the promise is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. What the Bible is saying is this, that when God makes a promise to you, as he did to Abraham, the promise is going to be realized practically in this world by grace, not by works, but by grace. Hallelujah. Grace is what? Undeserved favor that gives you a certain ability above the normal human ability. That brings things into your life above the normal things that comes into people's lives. It's wonderful. So, kingdom faith works by grace. We can see it clearly in the Bible. It is of faith that it might be by grace. Okay, I want to show you now in the book of Genesis the dynamics of this point, that it is by grace that kingdom faith works. You see, this is a faith that you have through intimacy with God. And how is it going to work in your life? It's by grace. Look at Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. Genesis 17 and then verse 17. It says what? Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? This is what God, you know, God appeared to Abraham, verse 17, and then he was talking with him about the covenant he wants to have with him. And then after he has told him, look at verse 16, I will bless her and also give you a son by Sarah, by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Abraham then fell on his face and started to laugh at God. And he said in his heart that, how is it possible? Shall I bear a child who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? He was laughing at God. What is this? Is it doubting? Yes. Don't be afraid. You will not get it wrong. It is doubting. God tells you, you get a sign and you start to laugh and you say in your heart, not even on your lips, in your heart, the man didn't believe. He said in your heart that, shall I have a child? How is this thing possible? Verse 18. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. This is unbelief. Said, I will have a child called Isaac, my own loin, my own biological child. God, bless Ishmael. I know that this is not possible. Let Ishmael live before you. And look at God's reaction to him. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants forever. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you, but you will get Isaac. It's powerful. We see doubt, but we see that God, because the faith came through intimacy with God, God overlooked it. And God said, no, Sarah will have the child. You doubt, you are laughing at, but no, Sarah would obey a child. You say, I should bless Ishmael instead. I will bless Ishmael, but I'm telling you, you have your child. Your own child, biological child. Look at chapter 18, the same Genesis 18, and then verse 10. Genesis 18, verse 10. God says, and he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. That is, God was talking with an angel. Okay, God was talking with Abraham. And Sarah was eavesdropping. She was behind the tent and she was listening. When God said that Sarah, according to the time of life, is going to have a child. Verse what? 11. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, you see, Sarah said within her, while she was listening behind the tent door, that she laughed within herself and said, oh, shall I have a child? I'm too old to have a child. And then verse 13, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And God said, no, but you laughed. Can you see that? Sarah, she hears that she's going to have a child. She's past the age of childbearing. And she laughs and says, oh, I can't have a child. And God says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh behind the tent? And Sarah said, I didn't laugh. And God said, no, you laughed. You laughed. But what happened? God overlooked what we call doubt. And he did it. Because once kingdom faith is born in you by a fellowship with God, no matter what you go through, nothing in the world can topple that faith. Anything that is born of God cannot be overcome by this world negative system, whether it is hunger or poverty or lack of money. It cannot overcome that thing, that promise God gave you when he was in fellowship with you. That is why you must long for fellowship with God. I want to know you, Jesus. Because once Jesus reveals himself to you, Byproduct is faith. That faith, no matter what you do, it will come to pass. Because God will overlook all your doubts. Go back to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and then verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. In the presence of who? God said, when his presence was with Abraham, that I have made you a father of many nations. That is what the Bible is saying. It's referring to Genesis chapter 15 that we read. Hallelujah. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him. Please underline in the presence of him. In the presence of God, whom he believed. Look, the Bible is describing the doubt of Abraham now as believing. Dash. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. According to what was spoken in the presence of God, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. This is Abraham. He didn't consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Go back to Genesis chapter 15 and chapter 18. You see that they considered that their body was dead. But because the promise was made in his presence, the Bible says that Abraham, he didn't even know that he had faith, but he did have faith. Hallelujah. Amen. We will look at it and we will say Abraham didn't have faith, but he had kingdom faith. That is what the Bible is describing, that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Verse 20 now, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened by faith, giving glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, God will overlook your doubts as long as it is kingdom faith. What humans will call doubt, you see that those things cannot hinder God from performing his good word in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.